Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, September the 27th, 271st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon out of the swamp for a couple of minutes, that would be the California Highway Patrol Arcata office. Public information officer, he now feels like he are one, Chase Adams. Hey, guy.
How you doing?
Okay. You are fully embracing that PR thing?
I love it.
Do you?
So much fun.
And that's why we don't have a webcam in the studio.
Exactly.
So, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the different things that are going on regarding back to school. And also, we've got daylight savings time happening before we get together, too. So a compounding factor. We'll talk about both areas when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from James Baldwin. You ready? This is a heavy one.
Do it.
Okay. The purpose of art is to lie bare the questions which have been hidden by the answers.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah. May explain why I don't spend a lot of time in art museums, however.
Yeah.
All I do is just get befuddled. Back to school. Great time for moms and dads of school-age kids. High schoolers get fired up about it, too, even though, you know, they won't necessarily admit to that.
Yeah.
College is back in session. Do cops get as excited about back to school?
Yeah, because a lot of us have kids, so I'd have to say yes. Yeah, I know I got two in school, so it's nice to get them in and learning, and, you know, I'm sure my wife appreciates it.
Out of mom's hair, yeah.
Absolutely.
It certainly sets up a different set of conditions for you guys and gals to have to compensate for. I guess deal with might be a little wrong, but to compensate for. We got a zillion schools in the area.
A lot of outside city limits, which would fall directly into our responsibility of patrol.
And you don't have too many that are on the highway directly.
No.
Oric is, I think, the only one I can think of.
Yeah, Oric. You may have some out 36 directly off the highway. Okay. Side streets directly off the highway.
Yeah, 299 doesn't have any.
No.
Weaverville doesn't.
That would be outside of our area, but yeah.
That's okay. Listening area. That's our focus.
There you go. There you go.
What is a definition of a school zone?
It would be a zone that's clearly marked, lower speed limits, possibly speed bumps or speed humps. And in order for the school zone rules to be in effect, there has to be the possibility or likelihood of children being present in the area. So at 9 o'clock at night, even though those signs obviously aren't taken down or they stay in place 24 hours a day all throughout the year, in order for it to be legally a school zone, it has to be during regular school hours or school activities.
So like back to school night?
Correct. See activity and kids in the area, it would be considered a school zone.
Of course, logically you're going to be going slow anyway if there's a crowd of people around.
Hopefully. Far be it from logic to enter into any of the equations. That being said, 9 o'clock at night on a, let's say, a Saturday night, no kids, no school events in the area, even though you're going through a school zone and it's marked 25, and then the catchphrase, when children are present, in a regular 35 zone, you can still do 35. Sometimes as you're following somebody and they insist on doing 25 and you're following them at 9 o'clock at night on that Saturday, it can be a little frustrating, but, you know.
It's only better than be for a block or two.
Exactly. Hopefully.
Well, we've got here by the radio station studios, I think one of the longest school facilities in the elementary school arena.
Sure.
Does it go? When I think of the school zone, I'm thinking of the crosswalks to the crosswalks. not necessarily the end of the playground. Is that wise?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the school zones are marked begin school zone and then leaving or end school zone.
Right, Sunnybury is kind of that way too. They're a little elongated along Buttermilk as well.
Correct. And up at Pine Hill, it's not actually, when you're going on Herrick Avenue, you're not actually even seeing the school because it's off on the side street. However, the main focus and what a lot of people are trying to bring attention to is the egress of kids in the afternoons. And a lot of times, especially elementary, middle school ages, they get dropped off in the morning and then, you know, ride their bike, skateboard, walk back home from there. So even though it might be a 2 or 3 block at the most school zone, anytime you know there's a school in the area, you got kids crossing, increased foot traffic, even if it is increased vehicle traffic, moms and dads picking up and dropping off.
Well, Zane is another one.
Zane, exactly. And you got the hill there and
the
everything.
Driveway, yeah.
Everything to complicate that issue.
So the technical of the school zone is signpost to signpost? Is that probably the safest thing?
Correct. But the law does, just on basic safe speed limits, the law does have that gray area for officers to make the determination. Okay, there was 9 kids at the crosswalk trying to cross and you buzz by there, even if you're doing the speed limit. And even if you had the right-of-way, it might have not been the safer, prudent speed to go at that time. So we can end up talking to you about that, too.
I wouldn't think that many people are ignorant of that. I think that the school zones, you see kids, they're being dropped off, they're walking around, they're on the sidewalks, bicycles. You slow down. Do you see some people not recognizing that it's a school zone when there are kids out there?
Generally, the motoring public does a great job, especially if it's posted in a known zone. A lot of times their kids are going to be the ones getting picked up or dropped off. However, you do get those people who hit the snooze button one or two too many times, and you know, obviously they're way more important than anybody else or anybody else's safety, I say sarcastically. And they decide to you know, treat it like qualifying for a NASCAR event and get all impatient.
And so do you.
Well,
Black Flag comes out. There you are. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Chase, if the school zone is something that's pretty locked in, I mean, they don't change year to year.
Not substantially.
In the vast majority, right. You've got the school buses, which are changing all the time. I mean, they're driving around, you know, ergo the
right,
bus part.
Right.
What are the rules, the vehicle code, about school buses? Whether it's in a community, like let's pick on Eureka, just because it's got its own school district, within the city limits of Eureka.
Okay.
Or whether it's a rural district where they may be stopping on the highway or on a major thoroughfare, mm-hmm. and it might change based on where the kids are when they're walking, and they may make it to the bus stop, or they may be still sprinting towards, and the bus pulls over a little bit in a different location.
Right. The thing about school buses is whether it is on the rural highway that is fairly busy, fairly high speeds, or the, you know, residential city streets or unincorporated areas, it pretty much stays the same as far as legality of when you can and can't pass a school bus. And they've made it abundantly clear with the flashing lights and swing arm stop signs on the school buses.
So, now, the flashing lights on the back of the bus with the stop sign not flopped out, so it's tucked in, is that go slow, pay attention?
Essentially.
And is it legal to cross the line, cross the center line? I mean, if I don't see somebody coming, I'm going to get as far around as I can. Same with the hitchhiker, same with a disabled vehicle inside, same with one of your rigs going hi as it's flashing, you know, it's Morse code.
Correct. Slow down, approach with due caution,
and try to give yourself a little bit more wiggle room, or the kids in theory more time to see you.
Right
Is that legal
to pass the school bus?
Bus is parked. It's got the flashing red lights. The sign isn't out, so it's okay to go beyond.
Well, there's two different colors lights the school buses employ. There's the flashing yellow warning
red
lights
yellow, yeah.
as they slow down. And then a lot of times if the school bus pulls off to the right shoulder, traffic proceeds with caution. As soon as the red lights start and the swing arm comes out, then it's a must stop, just like if it were a red light, you know, overhead red light at an intersection.
With kids in the crosswalk.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Compound. Only difference is it's about twice the fine if you go around the school buses if you ran the red light.
Do people understand? Do you guys get a lot of, let me say it differently. Do you guys get a lot of citations associated with passing a stopped school bus?
We do. We get a lot of school bus drivers, school employees, be it teachers or other crossing guards, whoever it may be, that have a lot of complaints about traffic just not slowing down, stopping as they should. I mean, you got kids out there crossing. It's pretty self-explanatory. And like I said, with the flashing red lights and the swing arm stop signs. So what they'll do is a lot of times they'll take note of license plates, description of drivers. They'll call us out there, request extra patrol. A lot of times we're happy to go out there and write 5 or 6 citations in one morning school bus route. People just, again, like I said, hit the snooze button, realize that the stop sign is out. In their mind, they, you know, check left and right. I don't see any kids. Get a little head start and go around the bus, sometimes crossing into opposing lanes. I've seen that quite often. And then, and I'll be sitting right there monitoring the whole thing. But like I said, they'll have tunnel vision, be in such a hurry, they won't even see me. And, if you can't see a large black and white patrol car with overhead lights,
well,
how are you going to see a little
Mouse
kid?
Flag thing. Also in the back, you're getting the attention.
Exactly.
So as you're in that kind of a scenario, what do most of these folks say? I didn't see, I didn't know, I didn't realize,
a lot of
or go, thanks for getting me?
A lot of times, you may have that reaction. A lot of times they'll justify themselves. Hey, you know, I knew this is my regular route. I knew which kids get off here and I didn't see them. So I figured I'd go around and get a head start. And at that point, they kind of realize you got them dead to rights. And the fine on those infractions are not cheap at all. It's last time I went to court on it, I believe it was upwards of $700 for a school bus, passing a school bus on the red light infraction.
Somebody will contest that?
Well, if they get a $700 bill in the mail, yeah.
Yeah, but if you did it.
Again, far be it from truth or logic to enter into the equation. Sorry to sound cynical.
No, I just, particularly with something like that, I would think that you just go, yeah, I screwed up.
Yeah, a lot of people, go to court, plead their case before the judge, even if they admit, hey, yeah, I did it, if I could have leniency. And unfortunately, the judges...
I wouldn't think that's one that you want get an awful lot of wiggle room on.
Exactly. It's kind of a serious one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even like compounding the fine for arguing.
There you go. I don't think
that
they
would
have
be frowned upon, too.
They don't have a sliding scale for that, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with California Highway Patrol Public Information Officer Chase Adams. Hey, has there been a Paul Dalen sighting?
Who?
That's what I thought. Okay, out of sight, out of mind. We'll move on.
No, Paul's still around for now.
Okay. What are the, when we talk about school zones and other areas where there's increased enforcement, I guess, do all the fines tend to walk up the ladder?
Yes. Short answer is yes. You have the double fine in school zones, a lot of times double fine in construction zones, special safeties.
Now, what is a construction zone?
Construction zone, the legal definition, would be, and I haven't checked the law recently to have it fresh in my mind, but essentially what it would be is be an area clearly marked as a construction zone with the orange or red warning signs and construction crew present.
So the pylons are out.
Pylons are out. Signs cones are out. Sign trucks
flash,
are
flash,
out.
Flash.
Arrow signs and whatnot.
And then what if there's nobody there?
If there's nobody there, it would not be specified as a construction zone legally if you took it to court.
Okay. Because if you get out a little bit early, you can see you're there when the crews are setting those up. Okay.
Correct.
Or you're there after they've gone, and I guess for ease, they haven't taken anything down. Okay.
Well, sometimes
weekends.
Sometimes there are permanent closures, and the roadway configuration,
right,
permanently marked. There's concrete signposts in concrete on the side of the road. Set, like for an example, let's use a northbound 101 at the Mad River Bridge.
Right, they've been doing work there a long time.
A long time. Yeah. At one time, it was down to one lane with improvised merge lanes and whatnot, and permanent radar signs flashing 55. So that would be considered a construction zone.
Even on Saturday with no construction.
Correct, because again, that goes to the basic speed law that we could get into. You have
safety.
lane changes, general speed, safe, generalized speed. Even if it is minimal traffic with no construction crew, would be the 55 zone. Now you might not get fanged for the double fine, but you'd still have to do the reduced speed limit.
Well, yeah, if it says 55, it's still 55.
Correct. Okay.
So you kind of have to look out and see what's going on.
Absolutely.
Or you just look out the window, not look out for the cop.
It's just, yeah, well, both. But it's just another common sense. Use all due care and as you're operating your machine, which in this case would be your vehicle.
So construction zones are pretty straightforward. School zones are pretty straightforward. Or hospital zones, I would imagine, pretty straightforward. Are there any of these zones that you could understand somebody not really seeing, feeling, understanding that it really is a zone?
Well, locally, to answer your question, locally, I think most of the zones are quite clearly marked. Most of the school zones, if not all, that in areas we patrol, have the flashing radar sign to let you know you're going a little bit quick in Cutton and Pine Hill, some of the McKinleyville ones. So I'd say quite straightforward. I mean, to the average driver.
You're saying no excuses.
There you go.
Okay. Summer school. You knew I'd come up with something.
Oh, yeah.
Summer school. Now, there's not a lot of places that do have summer school. I know the obligation is still on the driver.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a shared responsibility with the school if the campus is being used out of norm to do something to indicate to drivers? I mean, if you were a principal, I'd have something out there that say, summer school, kids still here, weekend event, something that would get their attention to let
right, and sometimes
know.
There is additional signage. One thing in summer school that would pop to mind is just the greatly reduced numbers of students.
Right, so it might look like nobody was there.
Correct.
But in fact, there was somebody.
Correct, but, you know, if it's a school zone, still during normal school hours, there's nothing in the school zone. And as far as the signage, let's say September through June, you still got to treat it like a school zone and use due care as you go through, reduce your speed and everything else.
Be smart.
Let's try that.
Oh, yeah. Just for a break in the routine. Thanks for the credit on that one. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:40. We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Chase, before we get together next, daylight savings time will happen. To me, what daylight savings time means is the sun is in my eyes at different places than what it is today. So if I'm used to coming over or around, over a top, around a corner, and not having it, I might have a pretty good, if it's clear, have a shot at catching some sunlight.
Well, you got to qualify that with the if it's clear.
Yeah.
When is the sun ever out in our lovely county? But what, yes, no,
what
exactly.
What does daylight savings mean for you guys? Because the sun is then up earlier and it's darker later on.
Obviously, the things that go hand in hand with darkness. You're gonna have reduced visibility during more of the commute hours. I mean, if you go through the safety corridor in between Arcadia and Eureka at 5:30, you still have quite heavy traffic volumes. And daylight saving time ends, you'll have obviously more traffic, less visibility. And then you throw in the inclement weather that happens around the same time. We start getting our rain, hail, sleet storms. It's a lot more curveballs thrown at the motoring public, which means the answer.
More fun for you guys?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The answer in the can, slow down, give yourself more space, give yourself more time. Always use your headlights, keep your eyes up.
Does anybody do the space thing anymore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, people who are...
You'll see six car lengths in the safety corridor?
Yeah, you will. And you'll see people doing 49 miles an hour getting passed in the slow lane, which is the idea.
Rocketed past, yes.
At times.
Yeah.
That's why we're out there, though.
Can you guys tell the difference between 51 and 55?
Oh, yeah. Just naked eye, visual estimation.
Things just... I figure 51, 50, 49, they're all kind of the same.
Well, we do have... that's what we do.
Yeah, you got the cheater.
We have the science behind us, the radar screen.
The cheater.
That lets us, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But we are trained in conjunction with the cheater to be able to visually estimate within 5 miles per hour.
The folks that are going quicker through the safety corridor, whether it's at nighttime or dusk or whatever, do they understand? Do they see the signs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's just an acceptable risk that they're...
I'd have to think so. There are some times when I'm in enforcement mode and I pull somebody over doing 61 or what have you, 55, 60, and I didn't realize it was a reduced speed limit. And I said, they should probably put some signs or flashing lights or something up to warn you.
Oh, good. So you take the Pabstein attitude and then, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Well, but that being said, a lot of people do just... Well, I was hoping I could get through today. I'm late. This going back to the snooze button thing. And
what about those folks who aren't from the area? I mean, I'll see a lot of the license plates that are from like Santa Rosa. Folsom is one of the more popular car dealerships. Mm-hmm. Also from around the area, or Anderson or Redding.
Sure.
Do they say anything? I didn't see. I didn't know. I forgot.
Commonly get that from out of towners and college students. Hey, I'm brand new to the area. I just started my fall semester. As a freshman, and that excuse doesn't really fly due to the fact that it is exceptionally well signed. There's quite a bit of signage, flashing lights, radar signs at different stages throughout the corridor, and the big double billboards with flashing lights well lit at both ends of the corridor. So,
the ones I don't get twisted about is that you come up to the first one of the speed sensor signs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the car physically slow down, the brakes light. They just kind of zoned out or didn't see.
And then they maintain the ballpark of 50.
They're okay the rest of the way.
Right.
If you guys see somebody doing that.
Well, a lot of times when we are in enforcement mode, we are There's only certain areas where we can actually do a safe U-turn or do a vehicle pace or, you know, speed enforcement maneuvers on our part. And a lot of times they're in or around those signs because, you know, there are three different signs throughout the corridor. So a lot of times that will be something we write on our notes if it goes to court, past the radar sign and received a clear reading of 66 miles an hour, which matched our patrol vehicle's radar reading. So at that point, you are a little bit out of excuses. Now, if, like you said, they do slow down to 51, I've been known to take that as, okay, they adjusted their speed. You know, if they didn't, obviously hadn't seen me and they're maintaining 51, I won't even make the stop. Or sometimes I'll stop, question them, and determine the best enforcement action is a verbal warning instead of a citation.
And that pacing thing, it's not zipping along Jacobs Avenue pacing with the car.
Now that would be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I would.
Have you seen
so,
the size of the potholes down there?
Yeah. Well, that's why you guys are the trained professional drivers that you are.
We like to think so, at least.
So as weather moves in, daylight savings time will change. People get into their new habits. Do you see any significant changes in the routines on the highways and byways that you guys patrol based on that? Will people either be driving a little bit earlier? Is the road traffic volume change at all, or is it just another condition to consider?
I would say, based on the several years that I've been up here, traffic volume remains essentially the same. You know, you still have people who have the same work hours, same school hours and whatnot. One thing I do notice, just as a rule of thumb, a lot more vehicle versus animal collisions, especially deer. It is deer season. Deers are out on the road, and they unfortunately don't wear any reflective tape or anything like that. So the earlier darkness, harder to see.
You need to get them the helmets and the reflective tape.
Something. Too. Yeah, make them carry insurance or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Thanks for coming by. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.